Hi everyone, and welcome to episode number 3 of the Conspicuous Podcast. So I'm your host, Steve Cranston from Lilac Films, and I'm here with Stuart Walton. Stuart, do you want to do your introduction?
Hi everybody, I'm Stuart Walton from Conspicuous CBM, Staffordshire's leading referral networking and business networking agency.
So this week's episode is going to be all about LinkedIn. We've done business cards, we've done networking, sort of, touched on that.
Yes, and excuses of people who don't go, yes indeed.
But LinkedIn, now I'm going to start with a story because I've got a story about LinkedIn.
Go on.
And I've got to confess, I don't use LinkedIn a great deal, but I didn't realise how...
And your 20,000 unread messages as well, as we saw
up on
the screen.
We'll come back to that one. Yeah. But I didn't realise how seriously businesses take this. I thought it was really something that only business owners who were looking to connect, looking to meet other people were using. And I was speaking to one of my colleagues in a big blue chip organization, and they were recruiting a health and safety manager. And all of their candidates, their first place was to look at their LinkedIn profile. Now, what was their favorite candidate on paper based on his paper CV quickly became their least favorite when they went to his LinkedIn profile. I'm gonna show it to you as well, so you can tell me what you think as well. The first thing that they commented on was his picture taken in his kitchen.
Oh dear.
But okay, you can go a picture. Under education, he'd rather than actually put his formal accreditations, he'd list it as, let's find it here, it was School of Hard Knocks.
He was trying to be funny.
And he missed out on a job that was probably going to be a £70,000-£80,000 salary because of a poor LinkedIn profile.
It's because basically he was proving that there was no congruence between his CV and his online profile, and that's often what these guys are trying to look, when young, certainly, I don't know if it's still true today, but certainly a few years ago when I was involved in more large-scale recruitment and Facebook was just starting, you know, people would look onto, you know, young people, what have they spent their time doing at university, and if there was thousands of photos of those being drunk and misbehaving on Facebook, that probably wouldn't go down so well. But, you know, I suppose these days, you know, everybody's doing it, so it's probably less... But this guy's proved, you know, that, you know, he's... A CV is something you produce for a job. A LinkedIn is something you've got as an everyday tool, day in, day out of your working life. So,
is it fair to say that LinkedIn actually is now probably more important than a CV?
I would say, you know, a CV you can construct. There are rules to the game. I mean, LinkedIn clearly are some rules, and we can talk about some of the things that are going to be important about it. But it's something, it's a living, breathing document. So it's supposed to reflect, I suppose. It's a bit like networking. Networking, you always got to be on your best behavior all the time because, you know, you do something, you say something, you don't respond, and somehow you create the wrong impression in a split instance. And LinkedIn, the same benefits and pitfalls would arise as well, since it's your it's a sort of online manifestation of your persona and warts and all. And if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't make sure that you avoid the obvious faux pas, and, you know, putting things like School of Hard Knocks, you know, humour often doesn't travel.
Now, the other big problem with LinkedIn is people that think it's Facebook.
Indeed, and there's been lots of that going on. Now, see, sometimes I just wonder if that's LinkedIn themselves, you know, because creating these sort of fake posts, putting in and saying it's not Facebook, and, you know, and somebody talking about their child, graduating, or somebody overcoming their loss of cancer, or
come back to that again. Yeah. So the fake post. So you're talking about the one where you had the girl that claimed had all these messages from a guy.
The first two or three times, you think, okay, well, that's fair enough. But it seems to happen on a regular basis. And they seem to get thousands of comments, which makes me think, you know, somehow. And if I look at the profile, they don't have that many connections. So I just can't, you know, square it in my head why there's so much feedback. And LinkedIn is forcing that into everybody's feed and making people, in a sense, you know, putting it fair and square so people then comment, because that's just the social nature of the network.
I logged on today, actually. That was the first one that came up on there as well. So you think there's a viral marketing company behind it?
Something is not quite scoring out my experience. That may be just me being, highly cynical and about these things. But maybe, who knows? But yes, I mean, clearly, this is not Facebook. Clearly, it's not Twitter. I would say, you know, you want to, it's an awkward balance. You want to you want to seem to be a professional, business-like, you know, efficient, you know, all sort of words like that. But you know, you don't look like you're some stiff person who's unapproachable. So it's a delicate balance to do, and sometimes sharing a little bit about what you do in the background. In some sense, LinkedIn encourages that, to talk about you know, the causes you're passionate about, the sort of you know, associations or awards that you've won, which could be completely outside of the activities. Both you and I do things outside of our you know, business, you know, which our work, which could be considered to be
your corporate social responsibility.
Yeah, hobbies, call it what you like, and you know, you partners that. And for me, that's a very important part of the thing. If I want to see somebody, I want to, you know, people who you know, in a sense, give something back to the community, and I can see they, you know, they're involved in, you know, good causes, associations, things like that. Something very important, and LinkedIn's very good at sort of teasing that out, and it forces people to fill it in, because you know, on the right hand side, if you want an all star profile, you know, you've got to fill in as much as possible. So LinkedIn, in a sense, makes you share.
Let's come back to that, because all star profile. Then, so what that means is that as you complete your profile, so there's lots of areas of LinkedIn that can be completed. Most people. Yep. Leave a good proportion of it unfilled in, but yep. LinkedIn basically ranks you. Yep. So it gives you a percentage of how much you've completed. Have you got recommendations on there? Have you put your education on there? Have you got your full job history on there?
That's
have
right,
you got
yeah.
a recent picture, et cetera, et cetera?
Now, you know, some things, you know, is it important? Yes or no? That's for you to determine. But clearly, the more information you put down, and obviously, you know, one should be truthful and you know, avoid, you know, you know, sort of massive gaps in one's CV, and go back. And I'm always a big believer, go back to the beginning from your education. You know, don't a lot of people sort of start their LinkedIn profile for the last, you know, last couple of jobs. And I suppose getting the all-star status is that health check. You know, got an all-star status, doesn't really rank your number of connections or how active you are. But if your LinkedIn profile is properly set, you know, you get nothing. So you suppose, you know, that's LinkedIn's way of saying, yes, you've filled in the bits as you should, you know. You've got a profile shot. Now, it doesn't say that the profile shot is a good one. It just says you've got a profile shot, you know. And looking at your the chap from, you know, the health and safety job, yeah, casual photos don't go down well. Cause,
not when you go for a health and safety management position. Yeah.
I suppose the classic health and safety management position profile photo is, you know, somebody, you know, you can either go for a corporate headshot or somebody, you know, in a sense, in his, you know, wearing a, you know, the hard hat and, you know, and
his PPE.
His PPE and stuff like that. You know, you want to see it appropriate for the positions. But, you know, but, and clearly, it's, everything's a matter of taste. But, you know, if you are, you know, if you're going to a job as a, you know, as a serious individual, and you're there, you know, in a party shot, which is more Facebook-like in its appearance, you're probably not going to score highly.
So on that note, I've cherry-picked out some profiles. I went through my connections and I had a look at some that I felt were lacking in some ways, but mm-hmm. See what you think about it. So the first one, let's come back to the pictures. The first one I'll bring up, this was one that clearly the young girl who's posted on here has got a very, very close-up shot in here, but she really has got the wrong social network here. I think we've gone further than Facebook. This is Snapchat.
That I have to admit now I'm probably a bit too old for Snapchat. I don't really get it. You know, you'd need my daughter here to talk about that. But yes, this young lady is it's giving the pouty lips look, and
I believe it's called duck face.
It's a duck face. There we are. See, Steve. So you're much younger than me in with these things. I couldn't even kiss, and you know, she's not unattractive, but really this photo is doing her no favors on LinkedIn. You know, it's
well, this is part of the battle with LinkedIn, isn't
you
it?
Yeah, I mean, if I can just have on, a look more closely, that more closely at what sort of things she's involved in.
Well, while you look at that, so coming back to the picture, then, so LinkedIn isn't a dating profile. It isn't really even something where it should be looks based on there. Your picture is there so people can recognise you, so they yes. can see who you are, so it should be a clear picture.
Without surprises, I think.
A passport type picture that's relevant exactly. to your sector. So like you say, with a health and safety guy, PPE would be suitable, a corporate headshot would be suitable. If you're a creative, then something out with a camera or something like that, like myself, would make
Indeed.
Sense.
Yeah.
So it's appropriateness for the situation. However, someone going for a corporate job and posting a dating profile type picture probably isn't the right thing.
It's like going, you know, why do you, you know, I mean, you and I currently in this heat are dressed slightly casually, but if you were going to a job interview, you know, for a big job, well, unfortunately, you'd have to swelter in your suit because you just don't know what it's like. Even if the other side are all dressed in casually, you know, first impressions, in a sense, you overdress. And I think the LinkedIn thing is over, I mean, I don't know what the term is for a photo, you know, but, you know, keep it, you know, don't take chances, you know, unlike a passport photo, you can afford a slight smile, and you know, and you want it to
you want to look welcoming, you're inviting exactly. connections. So does your picture invite connections?
Yeah,
let's go to the next one.
And I think that poor young lady would invite the wrong sort of connections, really.
Well, and that's the point of it.
Yeah.
So, of course, everything in the news has been about LinkedIn having some misplaced messages of men emailing women.
Yes, that just came out today. In fact, it even makes the Daily Mail, which then you know, shows that's starting to get into sort of general.
So this is the other side of one then. So there's nothing particularly sort of like wrong with the picture, except it doesn't look like a business picture. It looks like,
again, Facebook again. And I mean, I know the young lady as well. I mean, but if you didn't know that, so it's effectively two people in the shot. Who's who?
Which one is a person that we're supposed to be connecting with, and that's why you could look at evil and sort of like, unless you know the person, which then kind of defeats the purpose of having the picture on them in the first place. It's pointless having a shot where you've got two people in it, side by side.
It doesn't help
at all. Completely unclear who's who on that one.
Yeah.
So jumping on to the next one, we have got this one. Have a guess at what this guy does as well from it, what you can see. So I know it says it on there as well. But,
yeah. He just looks like, you know, like a rep from 1830 holidays, you know. But
I mean, this is a guy where he's dressed in sort of like a tank top. Like, it's a bit of a take that.
Indeed.
If he was going for a boy band picture, it would fit that in as well.
Well, as you would say, aging boy band picture, because he's not, you know, I think he's looking a bit past his boy band best, you know.
But his description is down as branding and digital consultant. And would you hire a branding digital consultant based on that being your first point of seeing him? Because that's what people are doing. They're judging your first 7 seconds are the most crucial.
I guess, I mean, I'm a bit older and a bit squarer than some, but, you know, obviously, you know, we see in networking lots of people dressed in a certain way. You know, I like my accountants to wear, you know, put a tie on and a jacket, and my solicitors and my AFAs and those sort of, and insurance brokers, sort of professionals and that sort of thing. You know, I like to wear a tie to meetings, and I guess creatives would have a loose interpretation. But I mean, you know, our common friend Dave, you know, who is a graphic designer, but dresses like, you know, when he goes networking, often dresses look like he's a banker, doesn't he? And
but he looks appropriate for the situation.
And actually, then he gives that feeling confidence to the rest of us that actually, you know, efficient, it's going to happen, there's going to be no messing around, and he's going to deliver. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want. We don't want the world's most creative thing. We just want something that works.
Well, I think this is the thing, is that there's excuses made as well, but if there's an expectation with the people you're working with to dress a certain way, it's like, I'm in the creative industry, I work in film, so when I go to a job, I'll probably wear something that's comfortable because I'm going to do that. However, when I go to a meeting, I won't turn up in jeans and sort of like a polo shirt and things like that. I'll turn up dressed how they'd expect to see someone that's going for a business meeting dressed.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, you know what I blame the hipster culture on this one as well. All these long beards and this... sort of like
we know a few with beards that need to be shaved very rapidly. You're right.
The deterioration of actual business wear in the creative fields. Okay, so we'll move on from our boy band lookalike.
And I would say to a lot of people, unfortunately, LinkedIn has morphed a lot. I mean, because it's now, I've been on there for 11 years. And it's probably been going to 13, 14 years, something like that. And it's morphed a lot in its activity. Originally, it's, you know, it started off as the world's, it was going to, you know, an online recruitment CV database type thing. It was going to, you know, put out the business, you know, all these recruiters. But it's morphed into networking now. It's morphed into sort of knowledge-based, you know, lots of things it's trying to do. You know, clearly it's just been acquired by Microsoft. Who knows what it's going to be like in the future. So I think that's part of the tension. Your profile and the profile, even some of the advice, you know, you receive from a year ago might be wrong because, you know, new bits get added, things get taken away. So, you know, what are you supposed to do? So, and that's where people make mistakes because they're not paying attention or not seeing sort of going along with LinkedIn as it evolves and adapting themselves to that, to that thing. So anyway, let's have another profile to,
yeah. So the next profile then we have got, this young girl here. This is one where I'd say it is just, it's just completely wrong. She's put the post on looking for full-time opportunities. And we've basically got high angle Facebook style shots. Boobs are out a bit in there as well.
Indeed.
And not quite looking at the camera, duck face. I mean, if I could post this without offending her, I would. But this is basically everything that's wrong with her picture as well. That it just looks,
you know, I mean,
completely.
Put my glasses on. I mean,
it's inappropriate for someone that is
pretty young girl. But you know, this is not doing her any favors. Job,
basically.
Yeah.
And I think this is the thing people forget is that actually. These large employers, one of the biggest platform they're using now is LinkedIn to employ people. There's no doubt about it. So having a LinkedIn profile goes without saying.
Something in the UK alone, UK is like the third or fourth biggest market for LinkedIn in terms of per capita and actual physically the number of people. Last time I looked, and it was about a year ago, about 17, 18 million people on LinkedIn UK alone, and out of, you know, X hundred million around the world. And you know, it's amazing who's on it. You know, truck drivers are on it. All sorts of people are on LinkedIn. You know, people, I advise kids, get on LinkedIn as soon as you can. You know, as soon as you can get on 13 or 14, get yourself on there and start building your profile. Because sometimes you get older, you can't remember who you've met and connected up with. You know, that's that useful sort of keeping up with people. But a surprising amount of people are on LinkedIn. A lot of business people say, well, I don't do Facebook. That's not very serious. But they'll be on LinkedIn taking it very seriously. So, you know, that's you've got to make sure you've got a thing. And one of the things that really annoys me is now, you know, we all make grammatical and spelling mistakes, and I'm as guilty as next one. But some people in their headings and titles, you know, there's obvious, you know, spelling errors, you know, managers, you know, there are special managers, you know, not managers and stuff like that, you know, and stuff like that, you know, how's that supposed to make me feel good about your competence if you can't even, you know, get your job titles right or names of companies wrong, obviously, and stuff like that. And it's just care and attention, and LinkedIn will demonstrate that very quickly.
You know, it comes back to what are you saying when you make a mistake like that as well? What can people read into it? That if you're making a grammatical mistake, people read into it that for some way you should have put pet care of attention into it, that you're someone that's not particularly cautious about, someone that is a bit frivolous around their work. So
like everything else, you know, a lot of people would get, you know, somebody to look at their CV or a covering letter, you know, things like that. Do the same with LinkedIn. Get somebody to look at it, check out, and say, you know, what's it look like? How does it feel? How am I coming over? You know, the same advice would apply here because it's important because people will check it out. They will check out your Facebook. They will check, you know, I mean, if your Facebook, I mean, clearly, if, I suppose these days, if you know, young people are not, you know, all you see is, you know, pictures of them, you know, doing very, or not doing much activity. You'd probably think they're spending all of their time on YouTube, watching YouTube or playing online games, but you want them to do, you know, good community activities. And if they're having a bit of fun at the time, that's probably a good thing as well. So, you know, you can't escape, you know, the sins of youth and things like that, but at least have somewhere, LinkedIn being the case, where, you know, you can show your best side. And, you know, it's the classic. And one of the things that people don't do, and, you know, we're all guilty of this and we could do more, all of us know, is, you know, people, you know, don't get enough recommendations, you know, don't get asked a question, you know, and I forget as well.
So a recommendation on LinkedIn is where you would email someone through LinkedIn and ask them to recommend you after you provide a service for them.
Or help them out and all sort of things. Collect these testimonials, get these recommendations. You get people to sort of tick, you know, these... sort of endorsements as well, which is a very soft way of doing it as well, and you could surprise people, and that's a nice thing. Obviously, if somebody does that, you know, say thank you. You know, getting a testimonial involves a little bit more work, and when we heard that Tom Malin speak, the FSB, you know, says, you know, use it as a bit of a marketing message, trying to get it not just, you know, oh, I met Steve one day and he seemed like a nice chap. Great. You know, trying to make it a bit more structured.
You're talking about when you connect to someone as well.
Also, yeah, and you know, when you get your testimonials, get them properly sort of, you know, proper marketing messages, because you can move it around a bit. But, you know, take care and attention. Get people to write nice things about you, you know, because, you know... It's a great way. I mean, you know, if you had two people sitting side by side, you know, two Steve Cranstons sitting side by side, one's got Johnny No Mates with a half complete LinkedIn profile, no recommendations, testimonials, endorsement. And the other one is, you know, he's got loads of connections, you know, well done, and it's, you know, lots of people seem to, you know, like him, enjoy the work, or think he does a good job. Who am I going to go for? I'm going to go for that person, you know, and yet. You know, our old friend Rob Brandy said, you know, it's all about reputation. You could, you know, at the end of the day, we're all 1 or 2% better than anybody else. It's what people perceive you. That's what's important. You know, how good you really are is actually not that important.
So let's go through the checklist then of how do you optimize your profile and what we're looking at for that then. So if we come out of this profile and we'll go back to, let's go back to my profile in here.
Okay, let's go to Steve's and...
So we're going into my profile now, and so I am at all-star status on there. Yep. Not to brag, but
yeah, very good. But and obviously, you know, you start off, you've got a professional-looking photo. Although my wife did say that when we looked at the graphic you'd done for the podcast, that you and I did look about 20 years younger than we really were. You know, so we need to age it up a bit, Steve. You know,
I got told it looks a bit like a car salesman as well. So maybe you? I do need to look at my picture a little bit. So,
but it's a professional-looking thing. It's it's the right thing. You've got your name, Steve Cranston. Fantastic. I mean, sometimes
do you think about all the people that have their name followed by all the acronyms out there? So BSc, ASC.
Or put their phone numbers in it as well, you know.
Yeah.
Don't bother. You know, because there's plenty of other spaces to put it in, you know, and do it. And
But clearly what they're trying to do in that is trying to bypass the system of this is a sales funnel for them, and they're doing everything they can to try and get people to call them and try and make it. And so I get this sort of like easy to connect, but is it the right kind of connection you want?
You're trying too hard. Mm. You're that guy at a networking event who's just literally trying to, you know, stab me with his business card between my forehead. I don't really need it. I've got enough cuts and bruises.
You're the person that goes in and puts your cards in every person's seat before handing it to them.
I just want to just rip them up and make them eat them in front of me. But that's just me. So, you know, you've got that. You've got your headline is quite... You know, you've not gone for the catchy, you know, creator of, you know, Staffordshire Steven Spielberg. You know, you've done nothing. You kept it quite sort of corporate and straight back, you know.
So this is a subheading. So underneath your name, you have a heading where you put what you do. So mine is director of Lilac Films, local director for Business Breakfast, Stafford and Penkridge. Yeah. A little bit out of date there, but it says what it is.
You know, and I get, you know, some people like to sort of jazz it up a bit and say, you know, you could say Staffordshire's Steven Spielberg, or, you know, the leading light of, you know, referral marketing. It's one of those 50-50 things, you know. This is, you know, if you're really into marketing as a sales funnel, maybe you want something more catchy. If you just want to have something more nice, you know, nice, centrally online, people can find you, know what you do, maybe you sort of turn it down a bit. So I know all the professionals will say, oh, no, you know, all the sort of LinkedIn gurus will go, oh, no, you've got to have something really catchy.
You've got to have your hook. You've got to have something that draws people in.
I just think sometimes that's a little bit trying too hard.
It's a bit like fishing, isn't it? It's who are you trying to attract with this as well? If you're going to have a hook, you're going to attract people that want that sort of like that kind of that snappy message to that. Yep. If you want people to just get what you do as well, there's a bit of balancing with this.
I think, you know, that's probably, you know, just make sure it's, you know, it's there and you spelled it correctly. I think, you know, it's half the battle. So
so coming down there, we've got experience on their field in for it. Now,
and another thing, sorry, if I just go back up to thing, one of the things you've got to, you know, do is, you know, you've got more than 500 connections. You've probably got more. I mean, I've got something like 2,000 X hundred connections. you know, LinkedIn set the bar at the time, Phone Grid Plus connections thing. Make sure you've got at least Phone Grid Plus connections, because nobody knows if you've got 501 or 5001. So keep it like that. So
I mean, what it's saying basically is when you've got 500 plus connections is that you're connected on there as well. So whether it is 500 or 5 million on there,
and one thing I would say, there's you can change your sort of URL, your LinkedIn URL. You can go down in the settings and change that if you wish. That's a little bit of customization, which
I think
nice.
I've customized it to Lilac Films, which may or may not have actually been the best thing, because what I didn't realize at the time was you can set up a business page. So it's important to differentiate your personal page, which is you as a person, and then you can have a business page, which is you as a business. Yeah. So I've kind of crossed over the two there slightly.
I mean, it's not the world's, it's fine. But one thing is the contact info, which is, just a little, looks like a little index card icon.
So the contact info is just beneath the picture.
Yeah, on the,
And it creates a drop-down box when you click it. So actually, I mean, talk about those people that put their phone number in there. It's not the most obvious place on there. You've got to actually, I mean, unless you know LinkedIn well, if you're looking for contact info on LinkedIn, it's not the clearest, not the easiest to find. But
there, opportunity, you put your email, your phone numbers, you connect up to your website, Twitter's your address. That's a good place to put it. And then it's clear what's good. And, and so many people don't have it filled in. That's, to me, is a major crime. Because sometimes I just want to try to get hold of them, want to phone them. Maybe want to be given, a referral or a lead, but I can't get hold of them. What do I do? I go, they're not open for business.
I mean, I think whether you like it or not, if someone has got an opportunity for you, don't rely on them emailing or calling you, because people get in touch with you in the bizarrest ways now as well. That all the social media platforms. I mean, I've heard of people Snapchatting sort of opportunities over.
I get it as well. You get Twitter direct messages, you get LinkedIn direct messages, you get Facebook messages. And different people contact you different ways. So you've got to be on top of your game. Instagram as well. So sometimes it's a bit of a headache. And I try to funnel if people want to use a non-email phone activity, I try to steer them all to LinkedIn messaging, because that's I've got myself
it's
down
a little bit more friendly, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a thread of all your messages. You can talk within a message, you don't have to just send a message there. It's a bit cleaner than email.
And that's fine for me, but you can easily get stumped by not doing it. And you should set up alerts. You should have if you've got an iPhone, make sure you get the little get the sort of notifications set up.
So you
as
do
well.
That by installing that. I mean, the app was terrible when it was first released. It was a huge failure, and it's got significantly better. Which I think they realised when they released it how poor it was. And now the notifications are excellent. Now, when you're mentioned in the forum on LinkedIn, it alerts you. So if someone mentions you by name, which is very useful if you're being recommended, you get an alert on your phone. So I think if there's one takeaway, it is get the app on your phone and tie it into your account.
And make sure, get it, obviously get things sent to you, an email address that you look at, and get the notifications turned on, because you don't want to be that person who's missing out on stuff. Sometimes, you see people, I don't use LinkedIn, I'm 6 months late responding to your message, where you're going to give me this golden opportunity. Well, too late.
So who's viewed your profile? This is a section next to the picture then. So you get a little bit of information from LinkedIn, and it's always interesting, especially if you've had stalkers in the past as well.
Sometimes I'm going to block them and, never do. I mean, it's sort of thing, I mean, there's also that, is there a whole LinkedIn etiquette? Do you know people who've looked at you, connect back, with a little message? I see you saw my profile, and I now want to creepily, connect up with you.
I mean, this is the thing that it's always been a bit sort of like hit and miss with LinkedIn, is that you people do know who's looking at your profile. Yeah. So if you click on someone's profile, especially if they're a premium member, they can tell who you are immediately. If you're logged into LinkedIn and you click on any profile,
you can sort of anonymize that, but what's the point? And stuff like that. I suppose it's saying, somebody says to me, I saw my profile, I'm connecting up. Okay, fair enough. I'm not gonna get excited about it. But other people might think that's a bit creepy. It's up to you, really. But I think, like everything in life, lots of people can make faux pas on LinkedIn, as they can do on Facebook, as they can do on Twitter, as they can do in real life. Life's too short to hold grudges,
But I think actually it's, if you're looking at it purely from a business perspective and move out the curiosity side of things, it's a really good way to target that. If you know that, in our game, if a marketing manager has been looking at my profile, that'd be something where I would probably look at, looking into more depth about what the company does, and looking at is there a way to find an opportunity in here now that they know who I am as well? So
yeah.
I think that's a better way to look at it, is that they know who you are through LinkedIn as well.
Yeah.
The fact that you know that is just an ace up your sleeve, and this is how you use that information, how you can use that to possibly look at creating an opportunity, creating a meeting from that.
Yeah.
And I think there's some positives from there as well, but it's always been a slightly questionable part of LinkedIn.
If you go back up again on your profile, I mean, you got... you've got the sort of you can, you know, and it tells you stuff. Now this is obviously, you know, if you've published some posts, you know, and the problem is a lot of people, you know, you can do status updates effectively, I'll call that, on LinkedIn. You know, I'm meeting Steve Cranston, we're podcasting. I could do that. In fact,
essentially, it's exactly like Facebook. Why do you do that as well? I'll explain what it is.
But also at the same time, people then use what are clearly updates into posts. Posts have a certain, you know, they have certain, you know, you get notifications of all posts if I think that.
So a post is almost like a blog.
I've got a problem. People then tell you, you know, all sorts of rubbish on this, which, you know, they should really be, you know. I think LinkedIn should police this better, and a post should be, you know, of something of value, information, not just advertising and, you know, sort of general rubbish, you know. So.
And also, I think it's fair to say, don't tie your Twitter account in with LinkedIn, because you don't want to have the amount of posts, the amount of updates going through LinkedIn that you post on Twitter. So if you post on Twitter 20 times a day, one update a day on LinkedIn is more than enough content for that. I mean, unless you've got a very engaged form on there, people just become sick of your content. You'll be the equivalent of the Facebook person that's posting 6 or 7 updates a day about what they had for breakfast, what they had for lunch, and what they're going to have for dinner. So while you do that, then we're going to talk a bit about skills and endorsements. So I'll just explain what this section is. Now, it's not that new anymore. It came in about 2 or 3 years ago, but it's essentially a way for people to recommend you for specific skills. So as I understand it, you can create things that you'll be recommended for, and also LinkedIn will scour your profile and try and work out what it thinks that you're looking
and
for
people, on. And people who look at you will be given recommendations by LinkedIn as well. So there's like 2 or 3 ways of these skills appearing, and you get up to 50 skills to play with.
So I'd say this is really a credibility exercise. And again, it goes up to 99. So you if you get 5,000, or if you get 99, if you get 100, then
it basically
says to someone looking at your profile that you've been endorsed for this. So I think I've got a couple that are on high. That film is at 99 plus, videos at 99 plus. Film
you'd
production,
hope so, really, you know.
You'd hope I could do my job. and then there's other things that clearly LinkedIn has pulled out that I probably wouldn't use as keywords. Things like HD video, camera producing, media production. So they basically looked at what they think are keywords when I've put in my description text about what it is I do and who I am, and they pulled that out and turned it into the endorsements. But you can change those. So if they aren't right, or if they're not representative of you, you can change them.
Yeah.
And then the way people see them is that when you go on LinkedIn, you'll see a post that appears at the top where you get a question, which is, would you recommend person X, Y, and Z, and people X, Y, and Z for these particular skills? And if you agree with it, you just simply click on them, and that goes onto their profile. So the idea is that makes it incredibly simple to recommend people. It takes out the whole battle of having to sit someone down and make them write a recommendation. So what I'm going to come back to after this then as well is the recommendations and how you should go about getting a recommendation, because I think it's fair to say the idea of sending out a post, a message or an email to someone, ask for a recommendation, 9 times out of 10 doesn't work. Even if you've done a fantastic job for it, the only sure way to get a recommendation from someone is to really sort of like really press hard with them and show the importance.
I think it has to be carefully managed. Like everything, you've got to manage the you know, it's like a, you know, it's like a project. You've got to manage the project. You know, maybe you've got to start off by giving them one first before you get yours back. You know, because in your sense that, you know, keep that sort of sense of obligation. You know, I go back to what Tom Mallon said, you know, maybe you need to sketch out what you want them to say and agree that with them up front. Look, these are the sort of things that would be really helpful if you're happy to give me a recommendations testimonial. These are sort of 2-3 lines that I want it to say, to avoid the sort of, you know, oh yeah, I once met Steve, he seemed like a nice chap, you know, which doesn't mean anything to anybody. You know, that's just...
I mean, that's a good point. You can go crazy with recommendations to get the ones where it's sort of like, we just had a really nice coffee together and I hope I'll do business in the future. It's not a thank you card.
I'll make Rob Brown, you know, I mean, like after all his, his talks, you know, he always says, you know, if you, you know, go out and say something nice on, you know, LinkedIn, to say you do it, stuff like that. And I noticed the last couple of times he was doing this, he says, look, you know, and please just don't say you turned up to and heard me speak and I seem nice. These are the things I want you to say. You know, he's trying to guide him because, you know, clearly he wants people to read those recommendations and testimonials and go, okay, I've got an idea of Rob Brown. You know, I'm getting, you know, congruent feedback from the people who are giving you testimonials that this, you know, Rob will deliver what I think he's going to deliver for me. And so this makes, you know, the buying decision, you know, for, you know, buying Rob and his time, his expertise, all the much simpler. And that's what, you know, that you're trying to do. Now, clearly, you know, it's hard work, it's effort, you know, but, you know, I look at it and say, you know, if, you know, and you do it by sort of job that you've got on there, you know, if you've taken the time, you know, somebody's collected a good amount of, you know, and you've obviously got to keep that going, the cycle going, that's, but, you know, you go through, you know, it's like everything else, you go through sort of, I find I certainly do go through sort of fits and splurges of doing it, and then for a couple of months I don't bother, and you sort of redo it. It's important, and if I've taken that time and attention, I think overall it is important and it does help. You know how it helps? Can you say yes? I got that job because I had that recommendation. Who knows? I don't know if this is true or not, but you know, the amount of people who say that was really good, you know, gives me hopefully. At one point, you know, my reward will come.
So to summarise, if you're going to connect to someone on LinkedIn, ideally, you know them, so you can connect directly to them.
Yep.
If you don't know them, look at the connections first and approach the person that is a second connection to them. A first connection to them through your second connection list, and use it as an opportunity to explore whether you can get an introduction, but be prepared for them to say, well, actually, it is, like you said to me, Stuart, a LinkedIn friend, and I don't know them especially well.
Yep.
And then, of course, if that connection doesn't work, you can always use the We've Done Business Together cheat, and remember to put a message on there to really give them a good reason why you want to connect to them. So I think this is time to wrap it up now as well.
And there's much more. I mean, there's some... when I do the my version of the blog post, I will put a couple of links to some infographics, which has got everything you could possibly ever want, which we use in the show notes, and sort of preparation that I did. So if you want to dive in more deeply as to sort of do's and don'ts of LinkedIn profiles, you know, bad LinkedIn photos, things that you should remember, you know, there'll be a nice long list for people to use as they wish, you know, so and click on them. But I would say all the advice is good. Often it becomes the same thing, you know, have a nice photo, don't make stupid spelling mistakes, and you know, fill in all the sections, otherwise you're missing a trick.
Excellent. So I'm Steve Cranston from Lilac Films. You'll be hearing the next podcast on Mondays. We're releasing them every Monday around about 12 in the afternoon on there. So please do subscribe on iTunes at Conspicuous Podcast. Stuart, do you want to sign off?
Yes, indeed. Hi, so I'm Stuart Walton from Conspicuous CBM, Staffordshire's leading referral marketing consultancy. Find me on Twitter at Conspicuous CBM, all one word, and look forward to speaking soon on other matters of interest to Staffordshire businesses and the wider beyond.